I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you, and I will never, never desert you. For lo, I am with you forever and ever. And if you say,
praise God. This is the Word of Faith Netcast, and this is Dr. Bill Bailey. I'm glad you could join us once again this week as we continue with studying the Word of God. Now, we're going to go to a different subject. We're going to pick up with a new scripture and a new subject this week, so stay tuned for that. Let me just give you a few announcements. First of all, the Word of Faith radio launch was successful last week, and we have an exciting lineup of teachers and pastors and ministers that are preaching the Word of Faith and only the Word of Faith, praise the Lord. And you can be a big part of Word of Faith Radio by simply getting the word out. That's the main thing we need right now, is to get the word out that the internet radio station is on the air. We do have our full schedule going now. We've got, of course, new ministers are being added every day, and that's exciting. But we've got some of the best known and most exciting Word of Faith ministries out there right now. And as I say, we're adding more all the time. So it's a really exciting time. But all you need to do right now is to send emails and call people on the phone and let them know that Word of Faith Radio is available, that it's out there on the air. And we just changed the website slightly and added a new player, which should be easier for you to use. If some of you were stopped by a pop-up blocker last time, that's been eliminated, so there's no need to be concerned about that. And then I will tell you that if you read the little description there underneath the player, it will tell you how to set up a permanent desktop icon for Word of Faith Radio, so you don't even have to be on the web in the sense of opening a web browser and getting on the web page and all those kinds of things. You can just click right on the icon and listen to Word of Faith Radio anytime, because it's running 24/7, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks out of the year. Word of Faith Radio is out there. So I'd encourage you to do that. Check on that, and it will be a blessing to you. Now, also, I want to mention a couple other things. Last week, I mentioned our new address, which is, of course, P.O. Box 4066, 4066, Archdale, North Carolina, 27263. You can write us at that mailing address now, or you can just use the regular email address, drbill@wfm.org, as we've talked about before. And, of course, you can always go to the website, wfm.org. We have a contact form there. You can fill that out. There's just so many ways to get in touch with us. There's no excuse. Amen. All righty. Well, let's get into the Word of God today. We want to pick up with a new topic. This is from the book of Philemon. Philemon has one chapter. So, obviously, chapter one. But we're going to start in, actually going to start in verse one. That's a good place to start. And this will, I believe, be a blessing to you. There's a couple of things here I want to mention because of the days that we're in, and I want to get into that. So let's just go ahead and begin reading in Philemon 1, verse 1. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer. Now, this means that Philemon was a minister, most likely, and definitely a partner with Paul and with Timothy in their missions, preaching the gospel. And to our beloved Epaphras and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Now, basically, Archippus here had a, he was a pastor, he had a church that was operating out of his house, And so he's writing to these ministers, and he's saying, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints." He's commending them here on their love. Now that's the word agape, which is divine love. It is love that is beyond human love. So that he's hearing of their divine love. He's hearing of their faith, which is the Greek word pistis, which is the word that is translated faith throughout the New Testament. So basically, he's heard of their faith. He's heard of their divine love, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus Christ and toward all of his saints. In other words, believers. Saints are believers. Now, I know some folks maybe grew up in a denomination or a church where saints were special ones that were set aside, you know, for some holy purpose and had to be canonized and all those kinds of things. Well, the word saint simply means someone who is a believer. Let's just put it that way. We'll cut to the chase instead of going into a long definition, but basically it means a believer. So he's talking about all Christians here. Now, here's the verse I want to get to, Philemon 1, verse 6. That the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ and enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such a one as Paul, an aged and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Now let's go back up to verse 6. That's what I want us to really look at closely. That the communication, now this word communication is a very interesting word. It's the Greek word koinonia. In other places, it's translated church. Some places, it's translated fellowship. It basically means, in certain contexts, let's put it this way. In certain contexts, it can mean the local church. And we saw that there was a church meeting in this brother's house that he was talking about earlier. So the communication here is fellowship. But another meaning of this word is very interesting, and that is partnership. So just like I am a partner with Kenneth Copeland Ministries in getting the word out through Brother Copeland's ministry, he's talking here also about koinonia, our partnership or fellowship together. It is a close association. The close association, the fellowship, the partnership of thy faith, again this Greek word pistis, may become effectual. Now here's the word, one of the words that I really wanted to center in on our study here today, and that is this word effectual. It is the Greek word energese, or we would get the word energy from it. That's the root word of the word energy. It literally means to be active, to be operative, to be effectual, to be powerful. So in other words, what he's saying is your faith can become effectual, your faith can become powerful, your faith can become active, your faith can become operative by the communication, the koinonia of your faith by, now here's how it happens, this is the method, this is the process, by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in thee, or in you, in Christ Jesus. Now, here's the thing about this word acknowledging. We read that and we think that it just means, well, we're just supposed to acknowledge that there's good things in us through Christ Jesus. Well, that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. But you miss something if you don't dig into the meaning here. That's why I love to get into the Greek and Hebrew and find out exactly what the meanings are here. This word acknowledging is literally the Greek word epignosis. Those of you that have been watching the Netcast for some period of time, you know what that word is. Epic is a prefix that means above and beyond. Gnosis is a body of knowledge. So epignosis is above and beyond a body of knowledge, or let's put it this way, revealed knowledge. Your faith becomes effective by revealed knowledge, and I'll just add this in. I don't think it will take anything away from the meaning here. The effectual become effective by the epignosis that comes through the Word of God, that comes through fellowship with the brethren, that comes through association and belief in Christ Jesus. So let's take this now and read it all kind of in context, that the communication, the koinonia, the partnership of thy faith may become effective, active, operative, and powerful by the revelation knowledge of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Notice he didn't say every bad thing. You know why he didn't say the bad things? Because bad things don't come through Christ Jesus. Amen? We know that that which kills, steals, and destroys comes from the devil. Jesus made that very plain in John 10, verse 10. He says, Satan, or the thief, comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. I am come, Jesus said, that they might have life and have that life more abundantly. So as I've said before so many times, that's a dividing line. You can set yourself up a notepad and you can put good and evil. You can put blessing and cursing. You can put life and death. And then you put in the life and blessing and good column, you put all the things that Jesus has brought, all the things that God's provided for us, and you put in the bad column, the killing, the stealing, the destroying, all the negative things, all the bad things that the devil brings. If you ever have any doubts about where things come from, go back and look at your columns. Amen? Your John 10:10 dividing line columns, because that will show you where what is good and what is evil. And it seems to me that people ought to realize that just from the context of the scriptures and the Word of God. But unfortunately, we've had a lot of help through the years with quote-unquote theologians and preachers that have told us that God's the one making you sick to teach you something, that Satan's the one that's come to heal. Exactly opposite, exactly backwards. And that teaching will hurt you. It will keep you sick. It will keep you where you are not blessed. If you've been hearing Brother Copeland teach on living in the blessing, you're not going to live in the blessing if you're hearing that kind of teaching. I'm just here to tell you that. And that's part of what this verse of Scripture is talking about, that the koinonia, the fellowship, the partnership of your faith may become effective, active, operative, and powerful by the revelation knowledge of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Now, this is why this is so powerful and so important. You need to realize that unless you are hearing the good news gospel, do you know the Bible says that there is another gospel that is not good news? See, the word gospel means good news. But we are not to preach that other gospel. We're to preach the good news gospel. So that's why I like to make it clear and say the good news gospel. Gospel means good news, so it's kind of redundant to say that. You're saying the good news, but I'd rather be redundant and make the point than to have people confused, which is what's happening so many times right now in the Christian world. You need to realize that you're blessed. You're to live in the blessing. You're to live in healing. You're to live in prosperity and health. Okay? That's good news. Bad news is the woe is me, what am I going to do, what's God going to do, you never know what God's going to do. All of that mess is bad news, and that's not gospel. It's anti-gospel. We put it this way, it's the spirit of Antichrist. And I'll tell you one more reason it's the spirit of Antichrist, because Christ means the anointed one and his anointing. It is anti the anointed one and his anointing. It is anti the anointing to say things that are opposite of what the Word of God teaches. And that's exactly what that teaching is, opposite of what the Word of God teaches. So it is anti the anointed one and his anointing. You can just mark it down. Yeah, Dr. Bill said that. Go ahead, mark it down. Tell folks you've heard it right here on Word of Faith Ministries Netcast. Amen. But I tell you what, you need to get that straight, because you need to realize what this scripture is teaching us here in Philemon 1:6, that the communication, the koinonia, the partnership, the participation of your faith will become effective, active, operative, powerful by the epignosis, the revelation knowledge, of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Well, here we go again. We're taking it a little deeper. Which is in you. These are things that are in you in Christ Jesus, the anointed one and his anointing. Okay? What is in you? Well, that's all the in him scriptures. In him, in whom. All of that revelation that comes about who you are in Christ Jesus. Did you know you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? Now you may say, oh, Dr. Bill, I don't know. You don't know me. I've done this and I've done that. I don't care what you've done. You've been made the righteousness of God in him. You know, if I've been made something, then it's not a matter of me having to become that through my own efforts. If somebody's bestowed something on me, let's say that, praise the Lord, wouldn't this be amazing? They made me king of a country just out of the blue. Came through one day, put a crown on my head, tapped me on the shoulder with the little, scepter, and said, you're King Bill. Well, praise God. What did I do to deserve being king? Nothing. We just dubbed you King Bill. I was made king. Okay? And what do you think that I did? What my, personal charisma that made me king? You just made me king. Well, God's made us kings and priests, praise God. So we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Not because of us, but because of him. That's why it's not bragging for me to say that I've been made king. Amen. It's not me or my personal holiness. Remember, that's what Peter said about the guy that got healed. He said, don't look at us like it's our personal holiness that did this. It's the name of Jesus that did this. Well, it's the same thing with us. Today, we are kings and priests in him. We're the righteousness of God in him because that's what he made us. Amen. Now, some of you saying, I don't know about that, Brother Bill. That's pretty far out. I don't know if I can accept that. Well, you need to. You need to accept it because it's Scripture. I tell you what, let's do. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm looking here in my electronic Bible to look it up. Hadn't planned to go to this scripture. Usually that's what happens. I don't plan to go to a scripture, and that's the very scripture I end up going to. All right, let's look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where should we start? Let's start in verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or a new creation, a new species of being. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, not because of our own righteousness, but by Jesus Christ, and hath given us this ministry of reconciliation, to wit, or to know that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. We're supposed to be going out and telling people that God's not mad at them anymore. He has reconciled the world to himself through Jesus Christ. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead that ye be reconciled to God. Here it is, verse 21. For he, God, hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin. Jesus knew no sin. He never committed a sin. But he was made by God to be sin. God, let me clear that up. God made Jesus to be sin on the cross that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. See, that's what we're talking about. We're acknowledging the good things that are in us through him, the anointed one and his anointing. Amen. Are you getting this? Are you seeing it? You need to see this clearly. Because if you see this clearly, this is revelation knowledge that will help you to have effectual, powerful, effective faith. Your faith can be harmed, can be stunted, can be... Basically, look at it this way. The volume can be turned down on your faith. Let's put it that way. If you don't fully understand through revelation knowledge who you are in Christ Jesus, what you have in Christ Jesus, and what he's done for you, and then you acknowledge that, you accept that. Now, see, if I read that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that he's made me the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and then say, no, I'm not the righteousness of God. I am contradicting the Bible. I'm contradicting God. In fact, if you really want to look at it that way, a lot of people say when you say you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, you're being in pride. You're being in pride when you deny that you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, because that's what he said about you. If God, through Jesus, made you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, he made you that on purpose, and you deny it, and you reject it, you're basically slapping him in the face and saying, I don't want that righteousness. Now, I know you're not intentionally, but that's what the end effect is by doing that. Now, that's pride. Oh, Jesus' blood couldn't possibly have cleansed me. I'm too much of a sinner. That's really pride when you get right down to it. Now, I know you're sitting out there going, oh, Dr. Bill, I would never say that. Oh, well, if you're going to sit there and say, I'm not the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, you are, in effect, saying just that. Now, think about it. It's true. So what do you need to do? You need to gulp and say, okay, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, boy. You know, is some of you waiting for the lightning bolts? It'll get easier because your confidence in the Scripture, your confidence in the revealed knowledge of that truth will get stronger and stronger and stronger. And as it does, you'll find very quickly that you accept the fact that you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and then it gets down in your spirit, down in your heart, and you begin to act on that truth. Now, I just want to share a little story with you very quickly as we close out here today of an example of this. I knew a pastor friend of mine many years ago. I still know him, but you know, I just haven't seen him in a long time, so that's why I put it that way. But this particular pastor was quite a character. Bless his heart, always has been. This brother just believed the Bible. You know, he didn't look at it from an intellectual standpoint. He just plain believed the Bible. But he was very inexperienced. Of course, actually, this was long enough ago. This was years ago. So was I. You know, not that I have huge, tremendous experience, you know, that I have arrived. No, not that. But I'm simply saying this was when I was really young in the ministry. And this particular brother called me up and says, Brother Bill, I need you to go with me today. Need to see somebody. I said, well, all right, Pastor so-and-so, I'll go with you. Well, I started driving my car to meet him, and the Lord dealt with me. And, you know, I just knew something was up. I didn't know what it was, but something was up. And so I'm driving down the road, and the Lord says, who are you? And I said, well, you know, I'm Bill Bailey, and I live at such and such address, and you know, all the typical things you're going to say. He says, no, who are you? So I thought a minute, and I said, I'm not sure, Lord, what you're getting at. And then it hit me. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He said, that's who you are. That's what you need to affirm. I said, okay. And I just drove on. Well, I met this pastor, and he said, we're going to go cast the devil out of this guy. I said, oh, really? So we went to this guy's house. We knocked on the door. His wife let us in, and he was back in the back bedroom, drunk as a skunk. Okay? He was laid out in bed, drunk. And this pastor brings me in and says, there he is. I said, okay. So obviously he was landing on me. This is what I'm supposed to do. I said, well, praise God. So I said, in the name of Jesus. And about the time I said that, this guy raised up off the bed. Now, he was stone cold drunk. He didn't even know we'd come into the room. But he raised up all of a sudden, pointed his finger right in my face, and he said, who do you think you are? And because God had already dealt with me, first thing out of my mouth, I said, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now come out of him in Jesus' name. And this guy, just his eyes got real big, and he just fell backwards on the bed. And I just turned to his wife very authoritatively and said, now, get him in the Word of God. Get him in church. That's where he needs to be. We walked out of there just like we knew what we were doing. And I got in the car, and I told this pastor, I said, brother, you could have told me before I got here we were going to go cast the devil out of some guy. And he said, well, I knew you could handle it. I said, well, praise God, you know. But God had prepared me because he told me what to say. Now, here God supernaturally took the time to remind me that I was the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Why? Because he knew the devil was going to question my authority in that particular situation. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened. The guy raised up and said, "Who do you think you are?" Well, you know, in the natural, I never met the guy. I wasn't his pastor. He didn't listen to me on the radio. You know, he wasn't even born again. So, I mean, in the natural, I'd have had to say, "I'm nothing to you, really." But God had dealt with me, and I knew what to say, and I knew what to lean on. And it was the fact that God had made me the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And so when the devil questioned my authority, essentially, is what he was doing, then I said, "I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now you come out of him in Jesus' name." I had established my position of authority. And the devil came out of him and fell back on the bed. And you know what? He went on. His wife did get him to church. He ended up stopping drinking. And he ended up working for a Christian radio station. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, good things happen when you affirm what God has said about you from his word. Amen. Now, why did God go out of his way to share that with me? Because I hadn't heard all of this teaching. All I knew was the scripture. And as I said, this was early in my ministry. But I tell you what, I've never forgotten that incident. And I never forgot what God told me. And many years later, when I had a similar situation, not exactly similar, but I had somebody say this to me, totally different circumstances. A minister was preaching, friend of mine. I was sitting out in the audience and our congregation, and he came over to me and stuck his finger in my face and said, "Who are you?" I said, "I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus." I mean, it came out before I even thought about it. It was down in my spirit. And he said, "That's right." And he moved on and kept preaching. And I stopped and thought about it. I mean, after that happens, your brain kind of comes back to you. You go, "Whoa, I'm glad I said the right thing." But you know, the thing about it is, it's down in there now. Amen. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's in there. Glory to God. Like you say about, you know, the old tomato paste or sauce or whatever. It's in there. Well, that revelation knowledge is in there. And that acknowledging of that revelation knowledge is what makes your faith effective and powerful. And that's what we're talking about. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're out of time. Going to have to go. Boy, we are really running tight on time here. So let me say this. Write us at Dr. Bill, D-R-B-I-L-L, at WFM.org. Use that mailing address that I mentioned earlier, Word of Faith Ministries, P.O. Box 4066, 4066, Archdale, North Carolina, 27263. And remember, until next time, to fulfill the Word of God.